listener-supported KTOO Welcome to Juneau Afternoon, broadcast live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, January 10th, and I'm your host for today, Andy Klein, filling in for Boston, who's on a quick vacation. Gunashish, and thanks for joining the conversation. And on today's show, when you think and hear Motorcycle Club, charitable giving might not be the first thing that comes to mind, but the Diamond Girls Motorcycle Club, together with the Panhandlers, are here to tell us about how they're helping the Aware Shelter. And Big Brothers Big Sisters are having an upcoming event titled The Big Social at Amalga Distillery, and Chloe Cavanaugh is here to tell us all about that. Mudrooms also has a workshop coming up, and they're also producing Smut Rooms happening on January 17th. We'll talk to them about those happenings coming up. Those conversations all ahead on this hour of Juneau Afternoon.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
And KTO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clean AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. And today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the Tidelands and now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these Tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk are ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk an a kaya ha an a kuk gunish cheese.
All right, well, welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. And as I said in the intro, you think motorcycle club, sometimes you don't necessarily think charitable giving as the number one thing that pops into your head. But the Diamond Girls Motorcycle Club is here together with Mandy Cole from Aware to talk about how your club has gotten together and also involved the Panhandlers from around town here as well to help out with the charitable cause of making sure that Aware is continuing on with its amazing service. So I'll start with Breezy and Chelsea are here from the Diamond Girls Motorcycle Club. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. And Mandy from Aware, thanks so much for being here. And thanks, obviously, for everything Aware does for our community. Breezy, I'll just start with you. Describe a little bit about how you went about deciding to do a charitable thing, what you did to raise money and give to Aware.
Yeah, so the Diamond Girls Motorcycle Club, we currently help 9 women's shelters across the state of Alaska, and we have 2 main fundraisers throughout the year. And at our fall fundraiser, we did a live purse raffle, and we decided that the proceeds from that would be donated to a shelter that we hadn't worked before with.
What's a live purse? What's that? I thought I heard of every raffle. What is a live purse raffle?
We had a concealed carry purse that we held up, and it was filled with all sorts of goodies, and we took bids right then.
Oh, okay. All right. Very cool. What was the top bid?
We got $450.
All right.
And
well
so
done.
With That's that cool. donation, we partnered with the Panhandlers Motorcycle Club. They're down here in Southeast Alaska,
right.
And they matched our donation, and we were able to donate $900 to the Aware Shelter.
That's awesome.
Today.
Well, that's really great, and what an amazing, obviously an amazing organization. And it sounds like is the Diamond Girls Motorcycle Club a nationwide club?
No, we are only in Alaska.
Alaska only.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool.
Yeah. We're the only all-female motorcycle club in the state.
And how many chapters in the state are there?
Just the one.
Just the one, but it covers every region of the state. Or are you guys from outside of Southeast?
Yeah, we came here from Anchorage, actually.
Oh, okay. I see. All right. So mostly you're concentrated in kind of South Central area, or is there...
Honestly, we serve all over the state,
okay.
And that's been our goal, to seek out more opportunities to help. But
yeah.
We help from Fairbanks down to Southeast Alaska.
Very
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Tell me, what are some of the principles of the Diamond Girl Motorcycle Club? I mean, what makes the Diamond Girl Motorcycle Club kind of a cohesive thing, and what are you into?
Yeah, I mean, we all follow our mission. We are here to empower women and get women on motorcycles. We also are very big on charitable giving, along with the whole motorcycle community in Alaska, honestly.
Yeah. You know,
we're more than just two wheels on the street. We do a lot of fundraising and a lot of different causes are recipients of all the good work that happens.
I love it because I'm a motorcycle owner, and sometimes it feels like the dumbest place in the world to own a motorcycle is Juneau.
It's one road.
It's one road, 40 miles. It's raining all the time. What am I doing? But, you know, you get on the ferry, you expand it, and actually it's, of course, one of the most beautiful places. Where do you guys kind of tend to ride where you are? Are you up in South Central as well?
No, I'm in Anchorage.
Okay.
And I have not ridden yet.
Okay, you
I've
need to start riding.
I've only been a passenger. Yep, I'm going to be taking the Abate course.
Yeah, I took it twice. It was excellent. I took it two times before I ever had a motorcycle. It's great. It's it gets you really confident on a, you know, the 250s, smaller bikes. It's a bike anyone can handle. I thought it was a terrific course. Yeah, really well done.
I'm excited.
Yeah, very cool. That's great. That's a great place to start. You know, you really learn every single rule of the road that, you know, if you listen to what they're talking about there, you've got a lot going for you as you kind of become a safe motorcyclist moving forward.
Yeah.
Abate is a wonderful resource.
Yeah. And speaking of wonderful resources, Aware and Mandy, welcome to the studio, and thanks for coming in. And what a really cool thing to hear that you get this $900 really nice contribution from the Diamond Girls Motorcycle Club and the Panhandlers.
What a wonderful surprise, although I do admit to hoping it was an actual motorcycle and we could, like, take people to their,
appointments.
Yeah, their doctor's appointment on the bike, and we could be, like, showing up at the, Social Security Disability Office on the bike. But actually, no, I'm just kidding.
Maybe in the summer. We'll come back.
Well, cool.
Yeah, it's super wonderful to find, I feel like a lot of my job is asking for money. I feel like, unfortunately, that's just the kind of...
Nonprofits are that way.
Yeah, that's the way. But every once in a while, you luck into finding someone who seeks you out, cares, has a totally rad mission, and gives you money.
Yeah,
so that's
great.
Really good day
and wants
for
to
us.
Continue giving you money.
And what are some of the kind of what's going on at Aware right now? There are some of the critical points that you're thinking. Oh, well, this is where our resources are really needed in these specific areas.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've heard, but things are a little more expensive now than they used to be.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's leveled off a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, so just buying food for the shelter is twice as much as it was a couple of years ago. And heating fuel and just being able to kind of keep up with the rising costs of everything, insurance and all that, it's more and more. And, as much as time as I spend trying to raise money, it is pretty hard to say to our kind of regular donors, actually, no, I need more, because if you give me the same as I got last year, it actually turns into less with inflation. And so it's really been helpful that this community and now my larger community has recognized that, it's not just hitting your wallet inflation, it's hitting everybody's wallet, including nonprofits, including our survivors. You know, we work with people who are generally they're experiencing a lot of poverty. And so, you think it's hard to live in poverty, but it can be even harder.
Well, it makes me think too, there's obviously the clients that you're serving that are at the shelter, but then placing clients outside the shelter, trying to get to that next step with housing prices kind of seemingly out of control. That must be a challenge as well.
It is. And it's also a challenge to morale, It's a cool thing to be with your peers in the shelter and, like, everybody's working toward the same goal. But then if you are placed in housing, if you do get that opportunity, sometimes it can feel lonely. And we want to be there for those at those times, too. And so that means, someone from my organization gets in a car and drives over to your new place and brings you a food box. And, those are the things that are maybe not, like, immediate safety, not the things that people always think of when they think of Aware. But in my experience, that is what keeps people healthy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't let go.
Right,
the
right.
The humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great reminder that, you know, the entities like yourselves just need that constant backing. And every time you can think of a way to maybe up the ante a little bit as far as your contributions go, you can do it. The pick, click, give is a great way of doing it. There's all these ways of kind of being able to easily do it. Of course, just going to the Aware website, you can give online. You know, it's never been easier in this day and age, right? I mean, there's apps, there's everything to be able to give. But it's also – it's an interesting thing to think about in this time of GoFundMe and these very individual giving opportunities that we all kind of get hit up for and that we all are aware of and want to give to. Our institutions like Aware maybe take a little bit of a hit, you know, because everyone's giving dollars are stretched in different ways.
Yeah, we're really, I think, blessed in this community that we have so many people who are willing to give and are willing to give over and over again. That's amazing. But it really does help when folks are able to just stop and think, like, maybe domestic violence isn't affecting me in my home right now, but I know you know somebody who has had that experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, this idea of empowering women, whether it's on a bike or it's through the shelter, like, this is the time. We need it. You know, not only are things more expensive, it's just also, it's just kind of a hard time.
Yeah.
And so making sure that we're thinking beyond just our immediate family, but like everybody in our community, and restoring some of that faith in community that, you know, I feel like has been just kind of picked at lately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of women on bikes, let's talk about women on bikes. What's some of the things that you would say if people are kind of like Chelsea, you're someone like you're interested, you want to get on a bike, you're interested. Is that what drew you to join in and become a member of the Diamond Girls Club? Did you have a friend or something like that? Or yeah.
So Breezy is my sister.
Oh, okay.
And so
I see now how it's happening. I see.
Yeah.
You've been drawn in.
Yeah. So as a sister, you know, I'm always.
Is Breezy your younger or older sister?
Younger.
She's your younger sister.
You seem
this is interesting.
By that.
I mean, you look very similar in age to me. You must not be.
We're only a year apart.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, but that's interesting that the older sister being drawn into the younger sister's world. That's an amazing power play you just pulled off there.
Yeah.
That's Breezy.
Right.
Yeah.
She's like, I need your help. Keep coming and helping.
Well, that's really cool that you're getting into it. So what are some of the things that you would recommend if someone's interested in motorcycles? What are some of the ways that you think are steps you could take? We've already mentioned the Abate course, which is a great first step course.
Yeah, I was going to say the Abate course, and even just speaking with any of the Abate board members, you know, they really do have a wealth of knowledge that they're happy to share with anyone and everyone. I think May 3rd, there is a bike blessing going on in Anchorage, and that's kind of like the kickoff to the season. Everyone gathers. It's a great time. If you're moto curious, definitely come out.
I love that term. That's good. Because I am moto curious.
But
I'm all the way there. I'm moto in. Yeah.
They have a short introductory class that they did last year. It was like 15 minutes to get people on bikes and kind of see what it's about.
Yeah. It's exciting. I mean, I came to motorcycle riding incredibly late in life. You know, I was over 50 when I first started riding motorcycles, and so I was incredibly nervous, you know, as an adult coming to a brand new skill. You know, like, am I going to do it wrong? And is this thing going to take off on me? All those things that run through your head. That course is great. And then just in a really kind of like welcoming environment, just being able to get on a bike in that sort of environment is really great. Instead of like in some sort of pressurized, you know, feeling environment. Yeah. So that's awesome that people just get a chance to get on a bike.
Well, and I would say, too, if, you know, any women are curious, we do have a Facebook page, Diamond Girls Motorcycle Club. So you're welcome to look us up there, and we're happy to talk to you.
And it's so cool that you have chosen – so you've chosen sort of as your conduit for all your charitable giving these 9 shelters throughout Alaska.
So 10 now with the Aware Shelter.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. That's great.
But, yeah, that's our focus right now. And as I said before, you know, anyone else that has needs, certainly we will do our best to raise money and help out where we can.
Yeah, well, it's a great to focus on, you know, have a focus to it as well, I think, is a great way of, you know, being able to, you know, raise funds and get people really behind, you know, helping specific organizations like AWARE. Yeah. Mandy, anything else you want to leave folks with about what's going on at AWARE or ways they can help or if there's things that you're looking for from folks right now?
Mm-hmm, sure. Well, I mean, certainly you could join a motorcycle club if you didn't want to.
Sounds awesome. Am I welcome?
Exactly. Now,
I don't think.
Oh, are you welcome?
I don't want to make assumptions.
Right.
But you may not have the right equipment.
Yeah, okay. You mean you don't like Triumphs?
Exactly. That's exactly
okay, all right.
What
I get it. No English bikes. Okay, that's fine. Well,
Andy
yeah.
He handles
so.
Rejection so well.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, and there's always great stuff going on at AWARE, always great ways to help and even volunteer opportunities.
Yeah, and we you know, it is mid-January already, right? So Women of Distinction is going to be coming up in early March.
Yeah.
So you'll be hearing more about that where we recognize,
yeah,
really awesome women nominated by the community doing cool stuff for us. And so that'll be on March 8th, and tickets go on sale pretty soon. So that's a good way to support and have fun and be fed, which is always my favorite part.
It's a huge highlight of the year, the Women of Distinction. It always, you know, you always know a few of the people on the list, and then you're always introduced to amazing work being done by people that you maybe never even knew.
Right.
And that's just such an incredible thing to see. And
yeah,
it's just people who are absolute heroes.
It's
you know,
kind
that
of
are,
like
that
right
are,
here today.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
didn't know this is where I'd be at 3 o'clock.
There you go.
But I'm
where
super
you're meant
grateful
to be.
To be here.
Well, thanks so much for introducing me to the Diamond Girls Motorcycle Club. It's awesome to hear about the work you guys are doing and just having a great time riding motorcycles as well and learning to ride motorcycles and getting
yes.
into it and being dragged into it by your little sister. That's fine. No shame there. And as always, great to hear about what's going on, Mandy, at the AWARE shelter. And thanks again for all the work you do for the people of Juneau. It's incredibly important and incredibly there's a lot of gratification from the people of the community that have used your services or just know that it's there for us. So thank you.
Andy.
Yeah.
Thank
all right. Thanks to everyone.
Us.
Yeah.
Yes,
thanks for coming in. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to Big Brothers Big Sisters about an event coming up, the Big Social. Welcome back to Juneau Afternoon on community-supported KTOO. Joining me now, Chloe Cavanaugh from Big Brothers Big Sisters. Chloe, how you doing?
I'm doing great, even better now that I'm here.
Yes. You know, this is one of these funny things. Of course, I know you mostly as a great artist in town. I love all the work you do. You really push the envelope on bringing a new perspective to art, formline art, all kinds of stuff like that. It's really cool. I love your stuff.
Thank you.
But you're Big Brothers Big Sisters, too. I had
no idea.
And you said that you were a little.
Yeah. So I've been in this role as Juneau Community Coordinator for the last few months. But, I mean, it's been a lifetime journey. I was a little for 10 years.
Wow.
With my big from 8 to 18. And
was that here in Juneau?
Yeah, here in Juneau. And it's almost gone beyond that. I'm 28 now, and I still do lunch with my big. So,
which is, I think, a common story for the Big Brothers. But it's a lifetime long, you know, relationship and mentoring somewhat, but then also as you grow older, it just becomes a great adult friendship as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all have those people in our lives that whether you were in the program or not, that you think back on and you're like, wow, that person really made a big impression on me, or that relationship means the world to me. And
or someone just took the time to, you know, help in a situation or those, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We all have those people and we can all relate to the importance of mentorship.
Well, Big Brothers Big Sisters, of course, is a program that goes on and on, but it doesn't go on and on without funding. It's a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And so you guys are doing a really fun way of bringing some funds in with The Big Social. Tell me about The Big Social.
Yeah, so it's really just a time to talk about the programs, to bring people together and be able to connect on ways that we could either partner and work together, recruiting bigs to learn about the program, learn about the time commitments, and if the program's a right fit for them. We're in a really big need of having bigs join the program. We have littles that have been waiting on the wait list and are really looking for that important person in their life. So we're hoping that this will be a time that people step up and are willing to mentor a youth.
Are there different, that's such a great thing, number one, just to have a casual, just to, you know, it's going to be happening at Amalga Distillery, and it's going to happen on the 22nd from 5 to 7.
Yeah.
So it's great, right? You just stop by Amalga Distillery, have a non-alcoholic drink or have a nice mixed drink if you want one, and just be able to hang out with the staff of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and some of the bigs as well, I'm sure, will be there as well, and just talk about what the experience is. So that's great. But are there different levels of being involved as a big? Are there kind of like, you know, mentorships that are – tell me about how that works.
Yeah. So really it's – you know, you think of like your day-to-day life and the things that you could bring a youth along the ride for of like if you like going to Eagle Crest, we actually pay for you to go with your little. If you want to go to the Rock Dump, that is also someone we partner with and we'll pay for you to do that. So the things that you love to do already and that you're already doing, all we ask is that maybe like a couple times a month you bring your little to experience that with you and to leave that impact. So you're able to enroll as just yourself as a big, and you're also allowed to enroll as a couple. So if you want to take that mentorship on as a couple, you can, and have that support, or just as an individual.
I didn't realize that part of it. That's really great. Split the what might feel like a little bit of a, you know, a commitment. Everyone that I've ever talked to that's been involved in the program, you know, at a certain point, it's no longer, they don't feel like it's a commitment. They just feel like it's this great part of their life, you know. And just like you say, it's a great, I'm bringing my bud along, you know, because that's what we do together. We go and hit Eagle Crest or we go on walks or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I think it's just such an important time to be really thinking of our youth, just with the budget cuts in our school systems, art classes being cut, and these extracurriculars that are starting to feel less and less accessible for our youth. It's such an important time to recognize that and really how we can step up and be that mentor, be that experience for kids to realize what they enjoy and what they don't enjoy. And it's a time to really rally together as a community and notice where the gap is and be filling that gap.
It kind of feels like it can be a bit of an isolating time to be a kid right now, too, especially with, you know, of course, the iPhone generation. That is a great tool and it has so much going for it and it's an amazing thing to have in our pocket, but at the same time it can be an isolating experience. It can draw you into sort of a little bit of a bubble, so it does seem like it's a time to make sure that we're reaching out and having these human connections with people.
I agree, and it's something that I look back on as my time as a little, and I am so grateful for these difficult milestones where maybe teachers had a difficult time with me, or maybe different programs felt inaccessible. And there are financial barriers for families, especially in these times when things are so expensive. So really this program made a difference in my life of I would have never gone kayaking. I would have never gone to certain camps, or I would have never gotten these different experiences if it wasn't for the Big Brothers Big Sisters program and my big facilitating those opportunities and bridging those connections ultimately.
That's an amazing thing to think about, that how there might be even be things that are defining things that you think about yourself now. Like I'm a huge into snowboarding or whatever it is. And it's because of that small commitment that someone made that they were going to, you know, once every however much time period, once every week or once every couple of weeks or a couple times a week or something like that, get together and take people on these experiences that they were already going to have.
Yeah, we've got some really amazing match activities that we've even done. Just like the community kind of coming together has been amazing. We've rented out the theater at Gold Town and we did a Polar Express movie, and Pat Race over at Alaska Robotics is going to do a drawing night. And there's all these ways that we're connecting with community with the goal in mind that it's not just about the mentorship, it's the opportunities in the community that we're connecting these youth to. And then in that too, as adults getting connected to, it's a great way to connect with these different things that are going on in the community and seeing it both through your own experience, but also getting to experience that through the lens of that impacting a youth.
Yeah. What are the age groups that are seem like right now they're sort of the biggest waiting list for? What type of, number one, what's the age group in general that this covers? And then secondly, is there sort of a one that seems like it's got a specific need?
So the ages that we serve is 6 to 18. So it's a pretty broad range. And I think often the biggest need is those teen years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems really intimidating because it is a difficult time, at least thinking back on
same here.
But I think those are like those are also the years that I look back on and remember my big the most. And that's like the memorable years that I'm like, I was so difficult, or I had so many things I was trying to sort out about who I am, that I really, really credit my big to those years. So it seems intimidating, but it's really such an opportunity to leave an impact. And maybe right away, I didn't realize that. If you ask me from 13 on, if I recognized the impact that my big had on me, probably not.
Right.
But right. I look back on that as an adult or in my early 20s, and the way I felt prepared to go into adulthood and the support system that my big had created for me and the advice that she gave me, that's something I'll hold on to forever. And it took a few years, but that is a lifetime of like knowing I'll always think of her. I'll always speak to what that relationship means to me. And when we meet for lunch and we get to catch up, it's something that I say to her directly is just that she has meant the world to me.
That's such a cool thing. What an amazing feeling it must be for her, too, you know, to know that she had that impact on a young person who's now this thriving adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. What are some of the resources that Big Brothers Big Sisters brings to the table for someone who's a big that maybe doesn't quite know exactly how they would go about it?
Yeah, if you go to the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska website, you can learn more about the program. You can enroll. If you want to enroll a little, you can do that. If you want to be a big, that's a good place to start. And then really you have these match facilitators that are really hands-on through the whole process. Like, you never feel blindsided. You feel fully supported during the whole way. If you hit bumps or you're not sure of like, okay, how do I connect to my little, what activities are out there? You have someone there that's supporting you through that entire process.
It makes me think, like, especially let's say you were supporting a teenager and they were maybe going through a rough period, or they weren't communicating with you as much, you could turn to Big Brothers Big Sisters and kind of get some resources on how to maybe handle that situation.
Yeah, you can get those resources. And there are moments within a little's life that I have heard within our meetings where it's gone beyond just the program and really just like being mindful of the youth's life and offering support to the big of, you know, we've had littles lose family members or their living situations have changed. And really the bigs seek out that support and knowledge on what do I do next? And they always have someone there to support them of this is how you can support your little during this time.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can imagine the challenges of anyone growing up and good times, bad times, right, like we all have had. But it's great to think that there's this kind of infrastructure behind you. There's these resources and there's these people behind you that maybe have seen a lot of that in the past or just kind of know. Is there also opportunities to get together with other bigs?
Yeah, so that's actually something I'm really focused on this year is being able to facilitate not only match activities, but really trying to create these spaces for bigs to meet and debrief and connect and have that space to create their own transparency and support networks with each other to just talk about what they're experiencing and what that's been like. So that'll be something new within this year. So look out for those spaces as well.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Wow. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? That you'd want to talk to people who have common experiences, or maybe people who've been doing it for 10 years and like, you know, have had an experience or have had more than one. Can people have more than one big, or how does that work? Or can they?
You're usually matched with one big, but we have had people return after sometimes, you know, your little moves away, or sometimes they age out of the program. And we do have people that return to be bigs after they wrap up with one little.
And you must have situations where littles have come in to be bigs.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. At one point, when I was going to college, I was a big in the program. And when I was in high school, I was a big in the program. So I really believe in it, and I think so much in these last few years with organizations, nonprofits, and as a community, I hear so much of like, our youth are the future, our youth are the future. And this really is the time to show them what that future can be.
I mean, it's words, right?
Yeah.
And we say those words a lot.
Yeah.
And then how do you back up those words that you say?
Yeah.
And then here's an opportunity to do that exact thing, and in a very, very easy way, in a, really a very simple way. And in a way that doesn't commit yourself to anything too massive unless you want to go that far. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more again about the Big Social, and let's kind of recap that activity, and people can maybe a first step for people to get into the world or just find out a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so it will be January 22nd, 5 to 7 p.m., and you just stop by Amalga. And you get to meet with the different staff and meet with different bigs who have gone through the program. And it's your chance to really just have the opportunity to connect with everyone and learn about the program. And Amalga's been so amazing about just giving us their space and have some really fun things up their sleeve, too. And it's just your chance to kind of figure out, is this program for me? And either way, even if it's not for you as a big, it can be for you as a donor if you're willing to contribute space, time. We have people who do baking classes. The Elks Lodge does baking classes. So it can look like so many things to be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters. And this is your chance to figure out how.
Yeah, not to call him out, but you mentioned Pat Race.
Yeah.
Pat, who was a big and has been a big, and I knew his little and great, great young guy. And Pat is contributing not only as from being a big, but also, of course, has resources and does a drawing class. So a total natural thing for him to offer that. And that's the kind of thing, you know, for people that can offer just a little bit more of either their expertise or they can offer what resources they might have in a very easy way.
Yeah, and I think we're really fortunate just in Juneau as a community is so many people are willing to step up and give something. And this is that opportunity to kind of connect what that something can be.
Yeah. Well, Chloe, thanks so much. It's so great to just talk to you for a little bit about this. It's such a great program and has been for so many years in Juneau. And countless kids have gone through that program and have benefited from it. And I think countless bigs have gone through that program and benefited from it, too. And I think that's really maybe something that's not talked about quite as much, but the impact it has on the person who's the big is really important for them as well. I know talking to Pat about that stuff, my wife was a big for a while as well. It was always very important for them as well. Yeah. Well, thanks so much. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
The Big Social is Big Brothers Big Sisters event happening at Amalga Distillery. It's happening on the 26th. It's adults only, we should mention. Obviously, it's at the distillery, so it's a moment to have for bigs to discover a little bit more about what's happening at Big Brothers Big Sisters, or as Chloe said, an opportunity for you to connect with the people there and maybe just make a donation. It's happening from 5 to 7 on the 22nd, and it's an opportunity to just find out a lot more about Big Brothers Big Sisters and how you might get involved and might be able to help. Chloe, thanks so much for talking to you. It's great to see you.
Good to see you,
too. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Welcome back. Listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm Andy Klein, your fill-in host for the day. And joining me now are folks from Mudroom. Skylar and Anne-Marie are here. Thanks to both of you for coming in. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you were just saying, Skylar, that it's kind of mid-season mudrooms. What was the last topic? Do you remember the last one? What was the last?
Oh, Braver Than You Think, Stronger Than You Know.
All right.
That was in December.
In December. And yeah. Is there a – I know we've got a workshop coming up. We've got a special fun one we want to talk about. Is there also like kind of a normal, quote-unquote, normal mudrooms thing coming up soon as well?
Yes. There's a couple of shows. Okay. February 11th, it's For the Love Of.
Okay.
Dot, dot, dot. That could mean a lot of things. Yes. We try to have themes that are a little open-ended, right?
Totally.
And then in March, which will be the last show of the season, is First Time for Everything.
All right.
It's kind of a nice spring title.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, those are both great. But yeah. Let's talk first. We got a workshop coming up, right? So Anne-Marie, is that in your area, the workshop?
No. Okay.
Let's talk workshop.
Say yes.
So when you say workshop, it's like it's basically the idea of storytelling. How to write a story, how to tell me about what people are looking for in these workshops.
It's all of that. Mm-hmm. It's how do I take an idea and make it into a story? Like, how do I make it logically flow? How do we create it? You know, make those talking points and the details. Mm-hmm. It's usually about an event. And also
the workshop, when you say about an event, you're saying the workshop, you bring up examples. You bring up an event as an example, or are you saying that when people tell a story, it's usually about an event that happened? The story is about an event. Is that
yes.
what you mean? Okay.
Because if you can narrow it down to that, it helps.
I see.
Helps
That's
a lot.
That helps in the way that you narrate the story.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And also, you get a chance to tell your story. So we might write it out a little bit, and then get a chance to practice it a little bit in front of a sympathetic audience.
Yeah, it's always
and, you
important,
know,
right?
Right.
No hecklers.
And then that right. gives you an idea about what to do, and maybe you might want to bring it to a mudroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Or write it, or develop it in other ways.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, right. Because that's the interesting thing about mudrooms. I think I've seen instances where people have a mudroom story. It makes them think about how to tell this story in a concise, better way. And then that's writing. And that develops, you know, that story can be told or it can be written or it can. There's lots of different things that can happen from there.
And Skylar actually leads the workshop.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well,
it's okay.
Skylar, I'll talk to you about the workshop
yeah,
as well.
Anne-Marie yes. has an incredible background in this kind of thing. So, yeah, well, the next one, which is the last one of the season, is on Sunday, this Sunday, January 12th, from 3 to 5 p.m. And 2 hours may seem like a long time, but actually it's a very short period of time. But it is impressive what people come out with after 2 hours. And people have a lot of fun sharing their stories or in parts of it. We kind of do it in stages with the other people in the workshop. So it really builds up their confidence. And some of the best stories we've had this season, I would argue, came
were
out
workshops,
of
huh?
were
yeah.
workshop stories. Because yeah. We'll, if people are interested, we will also coach you after the fact. If you're like, I want to sign up. I'm feeling more confident after this workshop. We'll keep working with people.
Is there anything sure. you'd recommend for people when they're if they're thinking about this workshop that they should kind of like come prepared to do or come having thought of a little bit or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, one of the first things we make people do is come up with a list of events in their life. And they don't have to be big. They can be really small, but maybe things you've told to people at a bar or gathering over and over again. Just maybe you think they're just anecdotal, but we can maybe work to develop them into real stories.
What's an example of that? What?
Well, I can tell you about in my life, I have told a pretty good story about when some fisherman gave me a bucket of hot water. And if you just summarize it up like that, it doesn't sound like much happened, but
it's
actually
pretty funny already.
Well, right, but actually it was very meaningful to me at the time because I was feeling very lonely and sad and not very important in the research group I was working in because I couldn't scuba dive anymore and I was left alone up on the boat. And they happened to come right at a time when I was particularly down, and it made me feel really seen. It made me feel like a lot more hopeful.
Oh,
but
yeah.
if you were to summarize it by blandly what
bucket
it is,
of hot water.
It's a bucket of hot water,
right?
But so that's what I mean is like we can ask people, I'm like, oh, why do you keep talking about this? Why do you keep thinking about it? And that emotional, psychological reason about why a story might be important comes out when you kind of talk more about it in something like a workshop, and then you
yeah.
can kind of develop a nice narrative arc
with that. However, I will say sometimes people feel like they have to tell like their deepest, darkest, whatever, and you do not. Like, please don't, actually, because usually when people realize
it's
they
Juno,
have
to... you have to see these people again.
Well, just sometimes people are not prepared to share that, and that is fine. You don't have to.
Right.
You can talk about small stories, and that's great. Like,
well, and I also want to mention that even our seasoned storytellers can
workshop.
Come to
yeah,
a workshop.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
because
totally.
It's all about getting that feedback. I have a story, but how do I organize it to where it makes sense?
Right. Every writer needs an editor. Yeah,
sure.
Right. And this thing makes total sense. Although it feels vulnerable sometimes, right? You're putting it out. You know, mm-hmm. I think you have the concept probably that you want to develop that story and have it be perfect before you let someone hear it. You know, I think that can be a concept that people have about storytelling or about writing, that sort of thing.
But this is the first step.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it's a step every writer, every storyteller should go through and does go through in order to get the story to a point where it makes sense and it flows and all those things that you were talking about.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, too, because you get to know people in the workshop better by sharing these things. And I feel like there's been a lot of people coming out of there having conversations, leaving the workshop together.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's really nice. I think of it as a little bit of community building.
How do you structure when you talk about the workshop itself? Kind of how do the hours? How do you kind of just generally? How do you kind of structure?
Yeah, well, and as I tell people, it's a workshop, so expect to work. usually in the beginning, I do like a little bit of an intro of you know what we'll do and where I come from in terms of my training. Sometimes we do a little bit of improv to get people warmed up. But then usually it's about brainstorming events, then taking sort of steps to like discuss those events with partners and then expand more on details and then the emotions. If we have time for other things, we will. But usually the last 20 minutes, usually actually half hour, we spend time just practicing to each other in small groups
yeah.
and getting feedback.
Oh, that's great.
So it goes by pretty quick.
Yeah, but yeah. you kind of develop, you do the work there, but then you have time to go back and forth mm-hmm. to kind of really...
Yeah, there's a lot of steps that we build in on purpose for feedback. So usually people get feedback from at least one other person three to four times in the workshop.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's another thing I want to ask you about.
Well,
and oh, go ahead.
Did we finish on the workshop?
Well, this is a free-flowing discussion. We can come back to it, but we could also cover what else would you like to talk about?
Location.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, yeah, sure. Let's talk about the location, time, location,
oh, yes.
place, how
so,
people can attend
again,
the workshop.
3 to 5 p.m. This Sunday, January 12th. It's at the UAS Egan Library in rooms 211, 212, might be both if we have enough people. And you can sign up online, mudrooms.org. There's a link. But you can also show up last minute. It does help for planning purposes to have printouts and stuff. If you sign up online, it helps us a lot. And it's free. So.
Yeah, very cool. What a great resource that you're offering. That's
and
awesome.
And we are hoping that students will show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Students,
at that
high
location.
School, any age kind of student. Yeah, students who are interested in storytelling. Yeah, very cool.
College students.
And college students, yeah, of course. Yeah, right. Well, okay, very cool. So I'm sorry, I kind of missed the uptake on that one. It's at the Egan Library. It's college students you're looking for mostly. Very bright. Younger students as well, but basically, right? Okay, very good.
Anyway.
So that's the workshop that's happening. All right, now the thing I wanted to ask you about, and we've got plenty of time, we'll circle back on the workshop too, but I want to ask you about this thing I've heard that's called smut rooms. Okay, what is going on? I am my pearls. Okay, that sounds pretty fun. So what's going on? You got smut rooms. This sounds like the types
well,
of...
Okay,
yes, go ahead.
I'm a new board member.
Okay.
And this is the first year that we're trying this. And when I first heard that, I knew about mud rooms and I'd been to mud rooms
sure.
by living in Juneau. And I thought, huh, really? Wow. What's that about? That's new.
Right.
So that was my reaction. I hope that's going to be other people's reaction.
I think so.
Yeah.
So tell us about the – I mean, I think we get it, right? We already probably get it.
I hope so. Well, and also it's not just like, you know, sexy smut, although there will be some of that. But I will say that this word or idea has been knocking around, I think, for a while. I don't know where it originated from. I've only been on the board for 2 years, but me and another board member, Taylor, were really like, no, we're going to do it. And other people, if you want to, you know, but we're going to do it. And so it's going to be next Friday at the Crystal Saloon at 8 p.m. as opposed to our usual 7 p.m. at the Northern Lights Church. Different date, different venue, different time.
It's an adult affair.
It's adult affair, 21 plus. But Smut Rooms, you know, our tagline is come and confess your sins. The theme is broadly the seven deadly sins, which I'll remind people of. Pride, greed, lust. Lust is, I think, what most people think of with Smut Rooms.
Gluttony.
Gluttony.
It's in there.
Wrath.
Envy.
Envy, yep. And sloth.
Sloth, oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I know.
I love sloth.
So there's a story there somewhere.
There's definitely a lot of lust in some of our stories.
Sure.
Which is exciting. But we're not, you know, it's not only the sexy stuff, you know. Perhaps toilet trauma is something, you know, you would share at this event.
Yes.
And we also have a burlesque show midway through by Stephanie Gams Divine. I think I'm saying that right. So, you know, we're mixing things up. Usually
super fun.
We have a musician at Mudrooms, but we're doing burlesque this time. So, yeah, we have a variety of stories right now. I think we have five or six stories right now. Honestly, if someone approached us with one more story that was pretty well put together, we would consider it. So pitch if you're still thinking. You know, we're not committed to the seven story thing for this one. And we're giving people a little more time. So if they want to do like 10 minutes or something,
it's at the Crystal, so people will get looser as the night goes on and it'll be a fun crowd.
Yes. Yeah. And maybe a different crowd or some of the same people go to Mudrooms. But yeah, we're trying something new. So there will be some more R-rated stories. Some stories maybe would fit at another Mudroom show, but you know, it's within the seven deadly sins, and you know, maybe it's that story you've been too embarrassed to tell, but now this is the perfect place for it.
No. Yeah, but you know, I think you know, people might shy away from revealing too much in public, but you could tell a story about envy.
Yeah, no, totally. You know? Right. That's right.
Yeah.
When it's in that way, we all share these deadly sins. That's why they're so universal.
Right. And you might not feel you might not want to tell a story about how envious you are about something, you know, but that would totally fit.
Yeah.
I feel like bathroom trauma could fall under gluttony. But anyway.
Or sloth.
Yeah, or sloth, yeah, depending.
Just waited too long.
Right. Well, that's the thing. So there's a lot of smut out there that we can enjoy together. And we're really excited. We've had a lot of people tell us how excited they are about going.
Oh, I think it's great. It's a winner. It's already a winner. And I just think, you know, it's a great it's a great time. All adults. You know, you love Seinfeld. He works clean, but you love Red Fox too, and he works blue. And I mean, that's what I'm talking about, right? This is the working blue mudrooms. I love it.
Yes. So we want to remind people going to that. You know, we're there to support the people that are willing to go up on stage and really share the details and bare their souls. So, but I feel like most storytelling shows are always really supportive environments. You know, it takes a lot of courage to go up there.
Definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah, and
do you remember your first? I'm sure you remember your first time going up, or were you always a kind of going to be a storyteller? Fine, no problem. Or was it a big moment for you to get up on stage and tell a story?
I have always enjoyed public speaking, even as a kid. I think it's funny. I'm very introverted though. But what I explain to people is, like, the great thing about going up in public speaking is you go and tell your thing and everyone has to listen to you. And then you leave. No one asks you questions, well, for, like, storytelling anyway. You know, there's not, like, a Q&A period on stage afterwards. So, you know, like,
not like this horrible moment you're having now.
This is fine. I enjoy radio. But it's nice. It's, you know, it's fun. I enjoy it.
So for you, it felt natural just to go and do that. No problem, really. You don't remember a big, big moment.
I mean, I know that I've been embarrassed before probably, but I can't think of like a big moment where I was like, oh no, I'm going to be so bad at this. More
how
like,
about,
well, I'm just going to have to do this and get through it.
How about you, Emery? Do you remember a big, was it a big moment for you to get up and tell a story on stage the first time?
It's always a big moment.
Yeah. But a natural feeling for you as well? Like you feel like you have, oh, okay, so it is, it's a real thing for you to do it and you have to really get yourself there
to
do
it. Yeah, and the irony is that I'm a retired professor and I taught theater.
Right.
So I taught acting, public speaking, storytelling.
So being on stage was nothing new to you. That was easy enough.
Hate being on stage.
But you don't, oh, I see. Okay.
Love being behind the scenes.
I gotcha.
Love coaching people. Love watching other people tell stories.
Right.
Don't really like the limelight.
But do you, once you've done it, and is it something you
I know
look
how.
Back, you, but is it something you look back on and say, that was, I loved doing it in that moment? Or
no.
Never. You're just compelled. You feel compelled to do it.
Yes.
I love it.
You need to stretch yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
And you need to say yes to things that are uncomfortable, right?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree too. That's why I'm doing this show.
Yeah,
you know, I don't get paid for this.
Yeah. you really learn a lot of valuable life lessons just by getting up there and revealing some kind of personal thing that's happened to you.
Yeah.
And in our regular shows, I think I get this feeling that people are, they sit there and they go, yeah. I've been through that.
Right.
I've had an encounter with a bear, or I've been walking my dog out on the airport trail, and this happened, and so we have these collective moments with each other, and so it's great. So why not expand it into the stories that are a little bit more racy?
So give us one more time. We just got a little couple of seconds left here, but Smut Rooms is happening when?
January 17th, 8 p.m. at the Crystal Saloon.
And the workshop
is January 12th, this Sunday, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the UIS Egan Library, Rooms 211.
And then what's the website for people to find out more about Mud Rooms?
Mudrooms.org.
Mudrooms.org. Skylar and Anne-Marie, thanks for coming in, letting us know what's happening with Mud Rooms. Sounds like a fun month ahead. Lots going on, and I think you're going to have a great crowd at the Crystal on the 17th. That's going to be a really fun time.
Yeah, we do too.
Thanks to both of you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for Juno Afternoon, broadcast live on KTOO 104.3 FM, online at kto.org, and rebroadcast on the station at 7 o'clock. Boston Christopher is the producer of this show. We had help today from Lisa Purvis. Thanks so much. Our theme music's from Indian Agent, and I'm Andy Klein. And that's it for Juno Afternoon. Thanks for joining me today.